I got on this kick for a while, mainly because another guy, a man in my church, I got on this kick of trying to get to the highest points we possibly could. And we would drive around all these places, and we would climb water towers, we would climb mountains, we'd go on these hikes and try to get to the highest points possible. And this guy was, we called him View Freak. I mean, he was just a freak when it came to views. I mean, he'd just climb these mountains and sit there all day and just oohing all over the view. I liked getting up there, and I'd see everything, and it was cool, and then I was done. We had this one hike we would do Sunday nights after church, because if you got to the top of Mary's Peak on a clear night, Mary's Peak is the tallest mountain in the coastal range. When you got to the top of Mary's Peak, you could turn around and see the entire Willamette Valley, basically from Salem to Eugene. You could see the whole, it was all spread out before it, and you turn around the other way and look to the west, and you could see the ships on the ocean and cities like Newport and Walport. It was the coolest sight in the world. So we'd leave after church on Sunday nights, get to the parking lot at about 9:30, 10 o'clock, and then do this 30-minute hike to the top of Mary's Peak. And I loved that. I loved being on top of the world. Then I got older and I got out of shape, and I don't like hiking up mountains anymore. And so I'm now confined to the Space Needle, where I can get an elevator and they take me up. But there was something about, there's something freeing. Everybody say freeing. There's something very freeing about being on top of the world. There's something very freeing about sitting up on top of something and being and having a vantage point of everything, not being constricted to what I can see in front of me or behind me or to the side of me. There's something very freeing, very liberating about that. Now, if you've ever spent much time in a metro area, in a very large metro area, maybe in downtown Seattle, Portland, Chicago, any of these places, if you've ever spent time in these places, then you will identify with just how congested and crazy metropolitan areas can be. And what's always intriguing to me, in my travels, I like to pull things up on Google Map, and I like to grab the bird's eye view, and I like to see the streets. And it looks so simple. It looks so easy from Google Maps. You're like, oh, yeah, it's right there on the corner. It's that building right there. And then you get down into that situation. You're like, wait a minute, which building was that? I can't even find the building numbers. Is this can I turn on this street? Is this street closed from 3 to 6? Wait, am I in the bike lane? Wait, am I on the trolley lane? Where am I? And you get so confused. I was going to do a job site a couple of weeks ago, and boy, it was a disaster. I mean, there were streets closed, and this guy said, I'm going to wait for you at the front of the building because you'll never find this building, and park behind this church. I just parked there, parked behind this church, and when you come out of your car, you get to the alley, come out of the alley, and take a left and go down the hill. And I mean, it was this maze. And finally I get there and he's at the front of the building, and I'm stressed to the hilt. It's like 3:30 in the afternoon. I don't like being downtown at 3:30 in the afternoon because I live in Puyallup. And I don't like fighting traffic. And so I'm irritated and I'm stressed and I'm like, this is just ridiculous. If he'd have just let me do it my way, I'd have parked, because see, I have specific parking garages I park in downtown. I know my way out of those places, but I did it his way, and I was stressed out and I was irritated, and I got into the elevator and went all the way to the 35th floor of this building. And we got out, and the building, it was a TI, and so the entire floor was cleared. It was wide open. There's not many buildings you go into in downtown Seattle where you just got an entire floor. There's no cubicles. There's nothing. There's no walls, no amenities. It's just wide open. And I got up there, and it was like I was standing up there looking out the window. I love to get as close to the edge as I can. Heights has never really bothered me. And I get as close to the edge as I can. I look out the window, I look down, and it's like there's not a lot of trouble from that viewpoint. Like, oh, yeah, there's I-5. Yeah, I see that. Yeah, you can come right down. There's 4th. Yeah, I can come right down 4th, and I can hang it right on you. There's just something about that vantage point that it removes all of the hustle and bustle and all the anxieties and all the worries and the stress and the wonderment of, can I turn here? Can you look up there and you're like, oh, yeah, see, there's a one way and there's a one way. There's just something about that vantage point that you just suddenly feel everything lift off you, and you feel on top of the world. It is the coolest feeling in the world. And, man, I got my phone out and I was snapping pictures and, you know, look at all these holes, these construction sites where they dug all these holes around this building and they're putting in the parking garages in the basement. This is the coolest thing ever. In 5 minutes, I was ready to stab myself in the eye with a fork. But there's just something about the vantage point of a tower that has the ability to just change every situation and scenario. Since Esther was in town, it was 1992 since the last time I was in the Space Needle, and so there's no better vantage point in Seattle than the Space Needle. So we went up in the Space Needle, and we walked around that thing, and I was just, again, I was taken back at just how simple life seems from 700 feet in the air. There are no cares up there. You look at the water and the boats and the cargo ships and the ferries, and you see all of these things. You're like, oh, yeah, this is cool. What a great life. And then you get on the elevator and you go back down. You come back out on the street, and you're like, wait a minute, hold on here. Where are we at again? Where did we park? There's just something about that high vantage point that changes everything. And so you look at this scripture that the wise man wrote in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10. And he said, the name, everybody say the name. Yes. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. There is, he starts to describe a few things. He starts to describe, first of all, that when you get into a tower, that there's safety in that tower. You see, that feeling that I had that day on that 35th floor of that building is the feeling that he's describing when he finds that tower of safety in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus. He feels safe when he gets into the tower. Anybody here ever gone to a big event of some sort, like maybe a sporting event? Gone to the Mariners game, you've gone to a Hawks game. That massive crowd. And the shoulder-to-shoulder people bumping into you, and you're not sure if they're taking things from you or they're just trying to get by you. And you got to, usually what I do is we get in crazy situations. I remember in the late 90s, I was at a concert in downtown Portland with my sisters and a couple of other their friends, and there was like 90,000 people in Waterfront Park, and it was the craziest thing I'd ever been in my life. This is a guy who's from a town of 485 people. And I remember telling him, you lock arms and you follow me, and don't you dare let go. And scream at the top of your lungs if somebody's going to get you. I was worried. There was just this shoulder to shoulder and just all this anxiety because of all these people. And where do you go? And then at one point, people started surging forward because there was a crosswalk and it said, don't walk. And there was an officer in the middle, but people weren't listening. They kept surging forward. And boy, at that moment, there was nothing more that I wanted than to be up in a tower. Looking down on that mess. And the writer here says that there's safety in the tower, that strong tower of the name of Jesus. And no matter my situation, no matter how dangerous it is, no matter how anxiety-filled my situation is, but when I begin to call on the name of Jesus, when I begin to speak that name, I begin to feel safety. I may not even be in a very safe situation, but I can just say the name Jesus, and I begin to feel his safety. I begin to feel his arms wrap around me, and I begin to realize that now I'm in the safety of his arms and in the safety of his keeping. Now, I know we started at the end. We're working backwards with the verse. He says that the righteous run into that tower. When do the righteous run into the tower? Except for in a time of trouble. And why does he say that only the righteous run into that tower? Could it be that those who don't know, by definition, the word righteous means to be in right standing with God? And so those that are in right standing with God in a time of trouble know that there is a strong tower in the name of Jesus. And so those in right standing with God, when they face trouble, they immediately call upon that name. they immediately put their trust in the power and the authority of that name. And suddenly they're caught away into that tower. Those who, in contrast, are not in right standing with God and not walking in righteousness. Or maybe they live for God or in relationship with God, but are living in uncertainty of their standing with God and the standing of their relationship with God. Aren't quite as confident to call upon that name and aren't quite as confident to trust in that strong tower or even to believe that that strong tower they have access to. You see, when I'm in right standing with God, I got faith. I got faith to believe I've got access to the strong tower. I was giving Miko a bad time the other night. We were trying to get into his building to get back into the parking garage, and the building was locked. And so he got his wallet out, and he started scanning the scanner, and it wasn't opening. He was scanning the wrong scanner. But he walked up to that door with a confidence when it was locked, and he grabbed his wallet out, and he touched that scanner because he knew, I've got access to this building. I've got access to this tower. And it's no different when I'm in right standing with God. And I know that I'm in right standing with God. I approach him with a confidence. Let me in the tower, Jesus. Let me in the tower, Jesus. I need your safety. Let me in the tower, Jesus. I need your comfort. Let me in the tower, Jesus. I'm tired of anxiety. Let me in the tower, Jesus. I'm afraid of fear. I'm tired of fear.
Amen.
Now, Psalm 61 and 1. Now we have the psalmist David here. And, you know, think about David's life for a second here. All the things he had to go through, all the things he dealt with. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Now, we like to quote this verse. We like to put the punctuation in different places. We say, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Well, that's great. But the scripture reads, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. That's usually when I cry, when I'm overwhelmed. Anybody here ever felt overwhelmed? Anybody ever here ever felt like you were drowning in your circumstances? Overwhelmed by life, overwhelmed by circumstances and situations that were out of your control. He said, when my heart is overwhelmed, I'm going to cry unto thee. Going back to Proverbs, he said the name of the Lord is a strong tower. You have the psalmist here saying, from the end of the earth will I cry to thee when my heart is overwhelmed. We understand that he's not talking about a literal tower. He was talking about the name of Jesus, the power and the authority of the name of Jesus as we know it in the New Testament, the dispensation of grace. And so the crying that he's talking about, he's calling on the name of the Lord. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. I'm begging for your help, Jesus. My heart is overwhelmed today. My life is overwhelmed. I can't take one more step. I'm crying out to you today. Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, help me. Then he says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Who's the rock? Who was the rock? The New Testament writer would say that rock was Christ, speaking of the rock that water came out of in the wilderness. He oftentimes refers to himself as the rock. The stone that the builders rejected. The chief cornerstone. He said, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Verse 3. For thou hast been a shelter for me. And a what? A strong tower from the enemy. I just thought yesterday we were driving home. Hadley fell asleep. I was trying not to sleep. Why didn't the writer of Proverbs and the psalmist say, the name of the Lord is a foxhole. The righteous run into it, and the arrows fly over their head. The name of the Lord is an underground bunker. that the bunker bombs cannot bust. Why not? All the military men in the building say, hey, amen. But you know what? Here's what I realized. That's kind of the mentality that we take sometimes in trouble. Name of the Lord is a foxhole. I'm just going to crawl in here and I'll be safe. Is that your mentality you take sometimes? I know that's the mentality I feel like taking sometimes. The name of the Lord is a big old bunker. I'll just crawl right in. No one will know I'm here. That's the mentality we take sometimes. I'm here in my problem, in my situation, and nobody else knows about it. And I'm just going to hole up over here in the corner and trust that somehow, some way, God's going to keep me safe. The psalmist said, when my heart is overwhelming, somebody get me by the hand and get me to a rock that's higher than I. Somebody lead me to that strong tower. Somebody get me up above my problems. Somebody remind me who the name of the Lord is in the midst of my trial. Amen. Somebody remind me of the authority and the power that I have in the name of Jesus, the name pronounced over me in the waters of baptism. And let that name be a strong tower for me. Get me up above all of my problems. Get me up above all of my situations and circumstances. See, every now and then when I get in the middle of stuff and I start to get lost, I'll get back on Google Maps and I'll start opening that, spreading that thing out. Where am I at? I want to see that dot on the map. I want to know where I'm at. I want to get that viewpoint. I want God's viewpoint of my life. And you'll never get God's viewpoint of your life as long as you're hanging out in a bunker in the foxhole. But if you can trust in the power and the authority of his name and allow him to lead you to the rock that's higher than your problems, allow him to lead you to the tower that's higher than your problems, you'll see his perspective. Couldn't help but think of the battle with the children of Israel when Moses got up on the top of the mountain and he had a vantage point. He began to stretch his hands over that valley where that battle began to take place. You see, he had a different vantage point than every warrior in the battle. He could see things that those warriors didn't see. You see, when you're in the middle of something, when you're in the middle of a situation, you can generally only see just a little bit in front of you. When you're in a mass, when you're in a big crowd, it's hard to see what's beyond the crowd. And if you're not careful, you can appear as though there's just a sea of people. And there's no way out of it. And we're going to walk through this sea for another 1,000 miles. I think about Zacchaeus. Scripture said he was short, couldn't see, wanted to see Jesus. So he got up in a tree. He got above everything that was between him and Jesus. All the things in his life that he perceived as being hindering blocks, to stumbling blocks and hindrances to him getting to the master. He crawled up above him. When he got up there, he grabbed Jesus' attention. Oh yes, God knows you're in your foxhole today. Yes, he knows you're hiding out in your bunker and you're waiting for the end of the world. And if you survive, then you'll come crawling out like a groundhog. And if you don't, well, then we'll just go to be with Jesus. He knows where you're at. He sees you in both places. But something transpires in the spirit realm. I trigger something in the spirit realm when I run to that tower, when I allow his spirit to lead me to that fortress. I grab heaven's attention. Heaven says, oh! You want our vantage point, don't you? Let me show you this. Let me allow you to see this. See, this is almost over. You thought there's millions of warriors in front of you. You've been swinging that sword for days upon days, and you've become weary, and you're overwhelmed. But if you could get to the tower, you'd realize, oh, wait a minute, there's just a few people left. If I can get heaven's point of view, then I realize, oh, wow, I'm almost through this struggle. It's been years. I've been battling this for months. It's been weeks. And I feel like there's no end in sight, but from heaven's viewpoint, it's almost over. Don't go in the foxhole just yet. It's almost over. Allow the power and the authority of the name of Jesus to take you to a level and a perspective today that you see it from his point of view. Would you stand with me right now? I wonder if you would just begin to call upon the name of Jesus today. I know what your vantage point is right now. I know what your situation is right now. I know what you see in front of you today. I know what the mountain is in front of you today. What's piled up in front of you. All the anxieties that are seemingly in front of you. And the bills that are stacked up in front of you. And it's hard to see past those things and all the uncertainties. But would you begin to call upon the name of Jesus and allow his spirit to lead you to a new place so that you get a new perspective. So that you can see things from a different vantage point. Oh, in the name of Jesus, we call upon your name in this room today. From the middle of our situations, Father, maybe even from our foxhole, maybe we've dug ourselves deep, thinking that we're protecting ourselves and helping ourselves. But I pray in the power of the Holy Ghost, lead us to you today, Jesus. Lead us to your strong tower that is the power and the authority of your name. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I receive your strength right now, Father. I receive your strength right now. You see, the vantage point of the writer was back in the day when they had walled cities. If you've seen pictures, maybe some of Brother Berglund's slides, you've seen that vantage point sometimes of those cities, walled cities with them big towers, watchtowers. Kind of like prisons today with them big, tall watchtowers. And so the vantage point of the rider was he was riding, and in his mind he saw that walled city with those big towers up on it. And the warriors of that city would get up in those towers, and they could watch and they could see. They got a vantage point of the enemy coming. It automatically put the enemy at a disadvantage because they already knew the enemy's strategy. They knew they were sneaking up from the north or sneaking up from the east or sneaking up from the west. And so they were automatically at a disadvantage. And now when the enemy attacked, the warriors in the city that were being attacked had the ability to draw their bow and arrow and pick them off. And the enemy that was approaching and attacking was now down here, trying to look up and find him. Where's that coming from? Having to try to shoot up into the air. I don't care how great a marksman you are, that's a difficult shot. It's always tougher to hit something when all you got for a calculation is a bright blue sky that's worldwide. It's really hard to judge something and say, well, I think that's about 30 feet tall, so I'm going to set for maybe 50 feet. Maybe I can round. You get the picture here? When I will hang out in that strong tower of the name of Jesus, I put myself at an advantage. I actually begin to walk in the advantage that God has given me. When you hide in the foxhole, you're just waiting for the enemy to come get you. When you're hiding, when you close yourself in your underground bunker, that is your pity party, and you're receiving of the spirit of oppression and depression that the enemy likes to feed at you, when you lock yourself into that bunker, you're basically just saying, raise the white flag. Here, come and get me. I'm right here. And then I live in fear all the time. Is that the enemy's footsteps I hear? Oh, wait. Shh. Is he coming today? Opposite of the vantage point of the tower, I say, good try. Good try, enemy. I saw that coming. I've been watching you for, I knew you were setting this up because I've been watching you for days, and that was a lame shot. Try again tomorrow, because today I'm living and walking in victory. Will you trust the tower today? Will you run to that tower today? Come on, worship him right now. Begin to call on that name right now. This altar is open if you want to talk to the Lord. If you're more comfortable doing it from your seat, would you call upon that name right now? Call upon the name of Jesus. Run to that strong tower today. Get the vantage point you deserve over your enemy. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Your name is a strong tower, Father. Hallelujah. I call out to you in my overwhelmed state. I cry out to you in my overwhelmed condition, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Call upon him. Call upon him today. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Everything changes when your kingdom comes.
Yes. I'm going to enjoy the vantage point of your tower, Jesus. The rock that's higher than I. The rock that sets me up above all my troubles. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Why don't you find somebody to connect with in prayer for just a few moments? Let the Lord lead you to somebody. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, up in the tower of his name, up in the strong tower of his presence. All the stress of life melts away. All the anxieties of life melt away when I'm in the tower. Hallelujah, Jesus. All the uncertainties of life melt away when I'm in the tower, because I get a new vantage point. I see life from a different perspective. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
When everything changes, when
in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus,
chains are breaking as your kingdom comes. Let your thank you.
praying for yourself and you finished praying with the person that he led you to, would you find somebody else? Don't stop. Let the Lord use you. Minister to somebody today. Let the spirit of ministry flow through your vessel today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Your strength is perfect today, Jesus. Your strength is perfect today, Jesus.
Everything changes.
Hallelujah. 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 Lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock today, Jesus. Hear my cry. Hear my plea, Jesus.
You're the name we're lifting high.
Hallelujah.
Your glory shaking up the earth and skies.
Sing this together.
Everything changes. Everything changes when your kingdom comes. Let your kingdom,
let your kingdom come, Jesus.
The earth is shaking.
Chains are breaking.
Chains are breaking.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being my strong tower, Father. I thank you for lifting me up.